Good evening. This is Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Delegate Terry Kilgore, and Eastman Credit Union.
Welcome in here on a Thursday night on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton here with you as always. And special time this Thursday, 5 o'clock on a Thursday we're airing this one, fellas, due to some schedule changes due to the weather this week in high school football. Coming up after our show here tonight on Thursday, we have high school football for you on a Thursday night. 7 o'clock kick, pregame around 6:45. It is Thomas Walker and Eastside. It's the Pioneers and the Spartans taking on each other there in that matchup. We'll have that game for you. Me and Corey will be on the call from Carl McConnell coming up in that one. And then tomorrow night, we have Abbott at Ridgeview on WAXM, Castle with J.I. Burton on WLSD. A lot to get to tonight. Andrew McClung will be our guest picker on our show tonight from WCYB as well. Let me check in with you all quickly here, fellas. Zach Helton, how are you, sir?
Man, if I was doing any better, people would be complaining about it on the internet. So, I thank you for the check the other day. We still get paid for this, despite a lot of people, and it cleared. So thank you. Bless up.
Wow. That's always my biggest worry when I get the check, is making sure it clears. Getting one is never the issue.
Nothing to do with who signs it. I have full faith in that. I just, wonder if people on the internet stop checks now. But we're glad that they don't, and we're glad to be here tonight.
Amen to that, brother. Corey, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm good. I feel like we need to be talking about what TV land lineup from 1998 show that we like. But I'm good to be here. Like those great shows.
Due to some changes, we usually do some songs for people who've passed away during the week. Sadly, that isn't going to work out for us tonight. But we do obviously send out our heartfelt.
Come and knock on my door.
Suzanne Summers. First of all, I loved her in Three's Company, but also I was a fan of Step by Step. That's a good theme song as well. I enjoyed it there later on in that sitcom with the family show there based up in Wisconsin. Also, it came out last night, the passing of Burt Young, Paulie from Rocky as well. So certainly in most cases, we would have those songs tonight on the show. It won't work out for us there. We have some other songs we got to play this evening. But speaking of stuff we got to get to this evening, fellas, let's do it quick here as we are rocking the rolling here early. Corey, we had the game, Union Central, 48-0. Bears roll over the Warriors. What you see Friday night on the Hill?
I saw Dave Dirks catch a touchdown pass.
I did as well.
But yeah, we did. We saw that. I thought Union still the class of Division II right now, and Class 2A, excuse me. Rayshon Anderson, 4 touchdowns, 2 truck sticks that he wanted to do going into the end zone as well. Fine oil machine is Union, and they get to go into their bye week, rest up, and get ready for the back end of their schedule. Look good. Central still the offensive struggles. We did see a little life from them in the shutout, but they still got a lot of work to do.
Union rolled. It was sort of a sloppy first half. I thought they were more dominant in the second half to pull out that win, 48-0 over the Bears. We'll talk more about the Bears coming up later on in the show. We give out our Player of the Week award, our Terry Kilgore Good Delegate Leadership Award. Zach, Twin Springs takes care of business in the Cumberland District. They beat Eastside 28-20. The Titans have now beaten Eastside 4 straight times as Keith Warner's squad stays with only 1 loss this season. That is a Class 2 loss to Union. They're number 3 in the points right now in Class 1 Region 1D. Your thoughts about the Titans win over the Spartans?
Yeah, the Titans have been tested. Only lost right now so far against Union, the Class 2 squad. So really good win. They went on the road, did what they had to do against a rival. I think Eastside's right there, right on the cusp. But, we've talked all year about Eastside being a year away, and I think they are. But I think Twin Springs is lining themselves up to make a nice little run here in Class 1D.
Yeah, you can be a year away, but also still make the playoffs that year before as well. And Eastside's trying to do that this time there for Mike Rhodes' squad. Big game from the night against Thomas Walker. But tough loss for them. They've lost 4 close games this year. 2 a touchdown by Central, 3 points to Chilhowee, 8 points there to Twin Springs. They lost by 12 to Rye Cove, but that was a late touchdown by the Eagles to sort of stretch that score to double digits. That was a close game there against Rye Cove a couple weeks ago. Other games in Southwest Virginia, George Whiff over J.I. Burton, 58-0. It was Ridgeview defeating John Battle, 28-12. Gate City outlast Lehigh, 26-19. It was Thomas Walker steamrolling over Twin Valley, 43-8. Rural Retreat defeats Chilhowee, 21-14. I was the only one of the Indians. We'd been unanimous on the previous picks, unanimously correct on the previous picks, we should say as well. Grundy defeats Hurley to take the Black Diamond District title. They're the first team to say they're district champions this year as they beat Hurley 50-34. It was Tazewell over Marion 44-7. Zach was the only one of the Hurricanes. Virginia High comes back and beats Richlands 28-24. Everybody was on the Bearcats. And it was Honecker defeating Narrows, or NARS as some would say, 74-51. Corey was the only one on Narrows. Last week in Southwest Virginia, I was a perfect 11 for 11. Nick was 10 out of 11. Corey and Zach, 9 out of 11. The standings now, Jacob and Zach at 61 out of 74, 82.4%. Corey just a game back at 60 out of 74 at 81.1%. Last week in Northeast Tennessee, it was Dobbins Bennett defeating William Blount, 46-21. Zach defeats, got the pick there of William Blount, but the Indians get the win. Sevier County blows out Daniel Boone, 24-7. We were all on the Smoky Bears. Morristown West steamrolls over David Crockett, 46-25. We all like the Trojans. And it was North Green over Yoneka, 22-20. I was the only one on the Huskies. Last week, I was 4 for 4 in Tennessee. Corey and Nick, 3 out of 4. Zach, 2 out of 4. Standings in Tennessee, myself, 44, 83%. Zach, 36, 67.9%. Corey, 35 at 66%. I didn't say this earlier on here. We will have some more high school stuff coming up after this break. We'll be joined in the next break by Todd Tiller, the head coach at Honecker, Seth Padgett, the head coach at Patrick Henry, previewing that matchup on Friday night. Also joining us will be Garrett Amberger, the head coach at Abingdon, and Dwayne Stanley, the head coach at Ridgeview, previewing their matchup as well. And the following segment will preview the matchup we got tonight here on WXM. That's Thomas Walker and Eastside. Tanner Hall and Mike Rhodes will join us coming up in the next couple of segments as well. Last week in Eastern Kentucky, it was Perry County Central over Letcher County, 20-6. We all had LCC. Oops. Pikeville defeats Paintsville, 46-12. We all had Pikeville. Breathitt County defeats Leslie County, I beg your pardon, 48-14. We all picked Leslie County. Oops. And it was Shelby Valley over Betsy Lane, 60-25. Zach was the only one of the Shelby Valley Wildcats. Last week in Kentucky, Zach, 2 out of 4. Myself and Corey, just 1 out of 4. Standings in Kentucky, 34 for me, 72.3%. Zach at 32, 68.1%. Corey at 31 at 66%. High school last week, I had 16. Corey and Zach each had 15. Standings, I have 139, 78.5%. Zach, 130, 73.5%. Corey at 122 at 68.9%. Let's pick some games, fellas. Let's do it quick here in Eastern Kentucky so we can get to those interviews with the coaches coming up. We'll be back to do some college football topics. Yes, we will do college football topics. Don't sue us. Coming up after a couple of segments. Letcher County Central on the road at Whitley County, though, fellas. Letcher County Central 4-4. Whitley County 5-3. Corey, this is the first time these two have faced each other since 2018. Who wins?
Give me Whitley County.
Whitley County at home. Corey's off the LCC wagon. Zach, who do you like?
I am off the wagon as well. I'm going to pick Keith Whitley County in this one.
I will like Whitley County as well. I'll take Whitley County at home. Pike County Central on the road at Betsy Lane. Betsy Lane now 7-1. Pike County Central 5-3 after Betsy Lane took the loss last week. Zach, who do you like in this matchup?
You know what? I'm going to switch it from last week. I picked against Betsy Lane last week. I'm going to go Betsy Lane at home, though, to get back on the winning side of things.
That will be Betsy Lane at home for Zach. Corey?
Heaven to Betsy Lane.
I like Pike County Central on the road. They control the all-time series 6-1. They've won the last 6 in this series, although they haven't played since 2004. I'll take the road team. Bell County travels to Clay County, Corey. Bell County 7-1, Clay County 6-2. Who do you like?
Let's go with Zach's favorite county, Bell County.
Zach, I think I know where. Go ahead and just write down CC for you.
Yeah, not Bell County.
Never Bell County. Bell County's won the last 13 in this series. They control the series 14-1. Give me Bell County on the road. Virginia High travels over to Kentucky this week. They take on Jenkins, who's 0-8, Zach. Virginia High is 2-5, but coming off the win over Richlands, and they've already moved inside the top eight in Region 2D to the number 7 spot for Derek Patterson's squad. This win won't do a ton for them, but boy, a loss would be dangerous for them as well. Who do you like between the Bearcats and Jenkins?
You know, I get the whole thing that Virginia High had to pick up a late game, and no offense to the folks at Jenkins, but this is a joke. Virginia High stopped playing Tennessee High because of the population disparity and the gap, and then they go on the road and do this. So, you know, Virginia High will go in and get the win, but this shouldn't be happening.
That'll be Virginia High on the road for Zach after that take there, Corey. Who do you like on the road here with the Bearcats?
Give me Virginia High.
I like Virginia High on the road as well. I think your point is well stated, though, Zach. They were in a situation where them and Marion, I believe, had a similar game scheduled for this week. I believe they both thought they were going to play Grundy. Grundy can only play one of you folks. They end up playing
tri-match.
They could have
tri-match.
They could have, but Grundy ends up playing Marion. Virginia High went out there and found a game. They found Jenkins. Not quite the staunch opponent you're looking for there in that matchup. Virginia High on the road for all of us. Coming up, Todd Tiller, Seth Padgett, Garrett Ambergy, and Dwayne Stanley. The head coaches from Honecker, Patrick Henry, Abedin, and Ridgeview will join us. Following that, Tanner Hall and Mike Rhodes from Thomas Walker and Eastside. As we continue the night on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Healthkeepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Healthkeepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks, the 93.5 WAXM. As we roll right along here on a Thursday night, Jacob Townsend here with you. Corey Sanchez and Zach Helton will join us in a couple of segments after we get done previewing some big games in high school football in Southwest Virginia this week. Yes, we are going to talk some high school football here on the show this week. Going to dive deep into a few matchups here. Two matchups specifically in this segment, one more in the next segment. As remember, we told you at the beginning of the show, a lot of schedule changes this week, including our show getting moved up from Thursday night at 8 o'clock to Thursday night at 5 o'clock this week due to the Thomas Walker Eastside game being moved from Friday to Thursday night. We'll preview that game coming up in the next segment with the head coach of the Pioneers, Tanner Hall, and the head coach of the Spartans, Mike Rhodes. In this segment, we had already prepared to do this. With the big game going on in Region 1D in the Hokie District, Honecker and Patrick Henry, we'll talk to both of those coaches here in just a moment, but also Abedin at Ridgeview, big game in the Mountain District. That's now going to be the game we're going to do on Friday night on 93.5 WAXM. We'll get to that preview here in just a few moments as we're going to talk to the head coaches of those two teams, Garrett Amberkey and Dwayne Stanley. So we had planned on already doing that, but now we're doing that to get ready for our game on Friday night here on WAXM as well. That's coming up in just a few moments. But let's get this segment started off with that big game over in Glade Spring tomorrow night. Honeaker and Patrick Henry, a game that a lot of people thought maybe could be a Region 1D title game at the end of the year, the weekend of Thanksgiving. Now Patrick Henry's lost a couple of games to Grundy and Rural Retreat, I beg your pardon. Those two losses, though, don't look as bad as they once did, as now as you keep a look at the Region 1D point standings, those are two playoff teams right now. Grundy already locking up a Black Diamond District title, and Rural Retreat now after beating Patrick Henry's right off wins over Lebanon 2 weeks ago, and last week, Chilhowee. So we'll get to all of that here in just a few moments and previewing all of these matchups. But we're going to lead it off with the head coach of the Tigers. That is Todd Tiller. His team continues to roll. They're coming off a win against Narrows, 74-51 last Friday. Yeah. They beat a team that they could maybe see in the state semifinal game come December with a score of 74-51. That's a combined of 125 points for the folks out there who have trouble doing math. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Honeaker Tigers, Todd Tiller. Coach, let's start off here. Y'all have been rolling recently. We talked earlier this year when you all were playing Rye Cove in the earlier portion of the regular season. What was a shootout there of the Eagles and Gary Collier squad? Y'all have been involved in a couple of shootouts, most recently Narrows, and a final score of 74-51. How have you all kept making sure your offense is staying in rhythm week in and week out throughout the season so far?
You know, yeah, and it's kind of like we're seeing the different defenses of the week or the flavor of the week or whatever, you know, people trying to hamper our offense, or they're trying to keep the ball or things like that. We just keep doing what we're doing, and we concentrate on the things that we can control and the little things, and do those, and that's each week, and just take advantage of what the defense is giving us.
When I talk to coaches who talk about you all, including Seth Padgett, who you all faced on Friday night, they bring up your quarterback, Peyton Music. That's really where this all gets started with you all and your offenses with the quarterback position. What's setting Peyton apart right now?
You know, Peyton's just him being a leader, his dedication to the game, the hard work he put in the off season, things like that. You know, he's a hard worker. He's come in and outworks, you know, a lot of the guys, and he wants to, you know, like a perfectionist almost, and he does a great job and makes the right reads, and you know, I can't say enough good things about Peyton. I think he's the best quarterback around.
The stats are certainly backing that up with him this season as well. And you all had Aiden Lowe return to you all this year after missing the latter portion of last season due to injury. He had a big game in this game a year ago, if memory serves me, against Patrick Henry. What is it about Aiden's recovery process that set him up to have success this year? And how has he excelled through that throughout the regular season?
Yeah, Aiden, you know, he got injured there against Grundy in the playoffs. And he came back late in the basketball season, and you know, came to us early summer and was working hard, and he's not missed a beat. And, you know, with Aiden out there, it's like Christian McCaffrey. He can do it on the ground. He can do it in the air. He's the most versatile player around, and he's so good. He's like Peyton, you know. Those two guys, they drive us on offense, and, you know, when they're clicking, you know, it's hard to stop them. Said Peyton and Aiden both exceptional young kids.
Y'all went up against the Narrows team most recently, one of the top teams in Region 1C, a test there against a team that you all you could see later on in the postseason if y'all are able to get through the Region 1D playoffs. What was that test like for you all to see sort of a team outside of the Region 1D and really Region D umbrella this past week?
You know, and that's kind of what we talked about when we first got them on the schedule. Like, we knew that they were going to be a veteran team, and they were going to be one of the top teams. And we said, you know, we want to make it far in the playoffs, that that would give us a great experience and a great look at Region C, and kind of, you know, be able to gauge where we stood at, you know, possibly. And like I said, it was a good game to have on the schedule, especially later in the year. And it gave us a glimpse into a little bit of Region C there.
Now as y'all get set for the Patrick Henry game on Friday night, when you look at the Rebels on film this year for Seth Padgett's squad, what do you see?
Oh, they're big. They're big. They're big up front. Their offensive and defensive line is probably the biggest you'll see. It's a small college liner, you know, and they got the Barrett kid who's a D1 prospect. And, you know, they got the Goodspeed kid who's fast as anyone around. And if he gets just a little sliver of opening, he's going to take it to the house. You know, they're very well coached. It's completely different than Narrows, who we played. You know, it was more spread, wide open. You know, Patrick Henry's going to pack it in, and they're going to just try to beat you up front and play a little smash mouth there. And, you know, it's going to be a tough test for us.
Weather will be a factor. Certainly it's expected to be on Friday night due to the rain that is forecasted. What's going to be the biggest keys for your squad against Patrick Henry?
You know, we got to limit the big plays, and we've got to, you know, not make the self-inflicted mistakes or penalties or things like that. You know, we got to control the ball. We got to take advantage of each possession that we get, because I'm sure they would love to shorten the game and not give us as many opportunities on offense.
That was Todd Taylor joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM, getting set for the big matchup against Patrick Henry. And now as we turn our attention over to the Rebels, I saw this team a couple of weeks ago when they came into Norton over at Lawson Fitchco Stadium and absolutely beat up on the J.I. Burton Raiders. Final score that night was Patrick Henry 60, J.I. Burton 7. They've got talent all over the field. You already know about Cameron Goodspeed. They've got the offensive line that's getting Division I college football looks. This is a really strong football team that's played in the last two Region 1D title games. We know by talking to Seth Padgett prior to the year, they want to do more than that, though. They want to take the next step and win a region title. A good step in that direction be picking up a big win at home on Friday night against the number one team in the region right now. That's the Honeaker Tigers. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Patrick Henry Rebels, Seth Padgett. Coach, let's start off here. We talked at the beginning of the year, and you were a team that people liked a lot because you're coming off back-to-back appearances in the Region 1D title game the last 2 years, and you got off to a really hot start. I saw you all when y'all played at J.I. Burton, really steamrolled over the Raiders 60-7. What has been the biggest thing for you all since then to make sure you're staying on track, although you've lost two games during that path?
I think just keep on getting better. You know, it's like I've said, in our five wins, we played pretty good, and in both of the losses we played good enough to win. We just got so far back and we couldn't get out of that rut, and so you know, I think for us it's just keep on getting better.
And those two losses everybody thought were really bad losses at the time. Now as you look at the Region 1D point standings, those are two playoff teams at the moment that you all lost to in Grundy and Rural Retreat at that time. Speaking of the Region 1D playoff standings, as the points have been released in recent weeks by the VHSL, how much do you all pay attention to that as a coaching staff and as a team?
I mean, you know, I'd be lying if I said that, you know, we didn't. So we do, you know, because you want to host the game, or you want to host two, or you want to host three. And, you know, I think that's important, you know, especially for us and, you know, playing on our field and, you know, not having to travel, because both of our losses, you know, we're both on the road. So playing here is very big.
Seth Padgett, head coach of the Patrick Henry Rebels, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. You all have some wonderful football players, but Cameron Goodspeed's the one that just sort of jumps off the page. I saw him score in multiple different ways when I had y'all against J.I. Burton. I saw him scoring the offense, saw him scoring a defensive touchdown, special teams touchdown as well. What sets him apart?
I think just, you know, he's 5'7", he's 160 pounds, but, you know, he runs like he's 215 pounds, and he's a kid who wants the ball every play, and you know, he's quick. He can stop on a dime. He can cut on a dime, and really, you know, he never gets a solid shot on him. You know, he just kind of slides away and does some things, and you know, you would think with his size, you know, that, you know, maybe he couldn't carry the ball 40 times a game, but he's had 196 carries for 1600 yards and 30 scores, so he's just very, very durable.
As y'all get set for Honeaker coming in on Friday night, big game there against Todd Tiller and the Tigers. Since Todd took over last year, they've sort of moved into this sort of air raid style of offense where they're going to toss the ball all over the yard all night long. They're coming off a game where they scored 74 points against Narrows. What do you see out of the Tigers on film when it comes to their offense?
Scary good, I can tell you that. They've got athletes all over the field, and you know, Peyton Music, he's a great player, and, you know, throws the ball well, and when he scrambles, you know, he keeps his eyes downfield, and you know, he does a great job. And then you've got, you know, Parker Bandy, you got Aiden Lowe, you got Avery Music. I mean, he's got all these guys out there to throw it to. And, you know, they're just a very good football team.
What are going to be the biggest keys for you all on Friday night with maybe some weather playing a factor into the game as well?
We got to slow the game down. You know, obviously, you know, we got to eat some time. We got to get some first downs. You know, we can't fumble the ball away, and we can't give them short fields. We have to make them drive the football. But I think the biggest thing for us is just slowing the game way down.
That was head coach of the Patrick Henry Rebels, Seth Padgett, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. That's Honaker at Patrick Henry. We'll pick that game coming up later on in the show with our Eastman Credit Union guest picker from News Channel 5 WCYB, Andrew McClung, later on in the show. Another game we'll be picking and another game we're going to be keeping a close eye on Friday night because Corey and I will be there up on the ridge, Abingdon at Ridgeview. Abingdon, we all know this beginning of the stories, beginning of the season story, right? They lost to John Battle in week one, 26-21. Next week, they got hammered by Christiansburg, 45-7. Then out of nowhere in week three, they go on the road and beat Gate City, 17-14. And they've now won four out of their last five games for Garrett Amberge's squad. We had them just a couple of weeks ago when they beat up on Central, 49-12. Now they hit on the road to Ridgeview, the team that beat them last year at home 20-13, the team that's the defending Mountain District champions, but are coming off their first district loss in over 2 years, just 2 weeks ago to Union. They rallied off a first district win after that against John Battle last week, 28-12. But now for the Falcons, they try to pull off the big win and take a big step forward in their Region 3D point standings and take a big step forward in staying in the hunt for a Mountain District crown in 2023 if they can pull off the big win on the road. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Falcons, Garrett Amberge. Coach, what has been the biggest difference for you all in recent weeks where you all have sort of been able to turn your season around? You're now over 500. You're now still in the district race, and you're moving up into points in the region 3D standings as well.
Yeah, I'm just really proud of how our guys have come to work each week. You know, I told them after we lost our first two games, I said the only way out of this is to work. And they've come each week ready to go, and we've improved every week, so that's been our goal, and that's a credit to our players and the leadership we have on the team.
I saw you all in the game against Central a few weeks ago in late September. Y'all beat the Warriors 49-12. Your offense has really developed, and it's really started with your quarterback, Luke Honaker, and everybody around him. What's been the biggest steps for them?
Well, I think we really have started to gain our footing offensively the last few weeks, and Luke made some really good decisions in that Y Central game. He was efficient with football, and we were able to move the sticks. I think our offensive line really started to gel the last few weeks. They're playing better, and we're able to run the football, and I've really been pleased with their progress up front. And our running backs, Owen Barr, you know, he's been a wide receiver pretty much his whole life, and he started running back this year, so it's been a learning curve for him early on. And ever since the Gate City game, he's really taken off. And Ty Thompson, as a sophomore, he's really come on and run the football well. And all those guys together, they're making plays right now.
Yeah, Ty Thompson even had a special teams touchdown in that victory over Central as well there over the Warriors a few weeks ago. You're coming off a bye week now for your team, getting ready for this last three-game stretch in district play. Ridgeview on the road this week, home game against Union. You close out the year against Lehigh in a couple of weeks as well against the Generals. What did you all work on most during the bye week?
Yeah, it kind of gives you an opportunity to go back and polish things that are a little more difficult to have time to get to. In a game plan week where you got a game on that Friday. So we were able to go back and have a lot more individual time in each session. So, you know, defensively, you know, we're constantly working on tackling, making sure we're efficient in that area and we're fitting the run up well. And pass coverage, really work on their technique. Offensively, we go back and hit ball security and quarterback footwork and scramble drill and things like that are kind of early season things that you go back and try to polish back up again.
When you look at Ridgeview and Dwayne Stanley's squad this year, you all take on them this week. What do you see from them on film?
A really good football team. I see a quarterback that can make every throw on the field. You know, he reminds me a little bit of Jake Sturgill we had back in 2015-16, where he can throw the football. And They can make plays down the field, you know, with their receivers. So they're really explosive. They've got a good running game to pair with it. And then defensively, I see a team that flies to the football. So that they really pursue. Got great linebacker play and D-line play. It's a challenge with these guys for sure.
What's going to be the biggest keys for you all on Friday night on the road at Ridgeview?
Well, I think that, you know, hopefully in a close game, you know, there's only about four or five plays that determine it. We played those guys last year. It was a really tight game, and just a couple of plays here and there that swung it their way. So in those four or five plays, we got to make sure we don't have any turnovers. We got to take care of the football, especially in our own area, end of the field. Got to make them drive the field. And then special teams is always a big swinging point in these games. You know, last year we ended up having a penalty on a punt. And a couple plays later, they got really good field position. They're in the end zone. So we got to do a better job with field position this go-around.
That was the head coach of the Abington Falcons, Garrett Amberger, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Again, they head on the road to take on Ridgeview. We'll have the game for you tomorrow night right here on 93.5 WAXM. Pre-game around 6:45, kickoff at 7 from Wolfpack Stadium up on Rose Ridge. Speaking of the Wolfpack, their head coach, Dwayne Stanley, joined me earlier this week to preview hit this game for his team, and it's one more big test for them in the regular season. They just went on the road to Union 2 weeks ago. They now have Abington coming to town this week. They've got a bye week next week before closing out the regular season at home against Gate City. Another game we'll be broadcasting for you here on WAXM on November 3rd. But now, as his team tries to move forward and get past the loss to Union and stay in the hunt for maybe still a chance at least a share of a district crown, they have to take care of Abington on Friday night. And they need this win to stay right there in that number three hole in the Region 2D point standings, locking up at least one home playoff game and maybe more after that if things can go in their favor during the bracket. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Wolfpack, Dwayne Stanley. Coach, you're coming off 2 weeks ago, your first district loss in the last 2 years as a program, losing to Union on the road. You bounced back and beat John Battle last week. What did you see out of your team in the week leading up to that game, setting up that matchup with John Battle coming off their first district loss in two seasons?
You know, I thought we came out pretty focused there on Monday. I was a little worried about that, but, you know, we just came out, we watched film, went over some of the things we did wrong, and then we just moved on to the next game.
You move out of that game, and now you're sort of there in that spot where you're, at this point, still have a chance for the Mountain District title. But maybe the most important thing for you all is trying to find your way and keeping your way into getting a home playoff game in the Region 2D playoffs. Big matchup against Abington, obviously, here coming up in a few moments. I know when I was reading some of your comments after the game against John Battle, y'all have been battling some illness, some flu symptoms in your program. How's everything going in that regard?
You know, it's going. That's like everyone else. I think this is the time of the year. It's really the dog days of football season. You get later into the year. You've been in school for an extended period without any types of breaks. Kids are together. You start to get sickness. You start to get a few kids banged up. We've got a open date coming up here in a couple of weeks, and I know we're looking forward to that. So, you know, I'm sure we're doing about the same as everybody else.
Yeah, you got the game against Abington this week and open eight coming up after that. Then we'll have your game, the final game of the regular season against Gate City on November 3rd. Abington's a team you all know pretty well. You've seen them every year now in the Mountain District. Last year you had a good game with them at Abington. Now they come to your place of where they're still trying to fight their way into the playoffs as well in Region 3D. When you look at Garrett Amberger's squad, what do you see on film?
Same as always, big physical football team. You know, they get after you. They've got great size. Good linemen, they're aggressive, really good quarterback, runs the ball well, throws the ball well, got a really big tight end. I mean, they're usual Abington team. They're solid in every part of the game, and they're big and physical.
What do you need to see out of your team going into this game prior to the bye week?
Same thing as every week. We've got to tackle well because they run. They've got two or three running backs that run the ball hard. And, you know, just don't turn the ball over. Keep the ball, possess it, get first downs, and move it. That's about what it'll be.
Forecast is calling for rain Friday night. You all have the turf game still scheduled for Friday evening due to that regard, most likely. What do you want to see out of your offense that they'll have to face with the conditions, with the rain maybe being in the forecast for that matchup?
I think, you know, ball security is a big deal. we haven't really had a game where we've had much rain. We've played in some wet conditions, but not anything like they're forecasting for Friday. So I think both teams will be the same thing. You just got to hold on to the ball.
That was the head coach of the Ridgeview Wolfpack, Dwayne Stanley, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WXM. Again, it's Abingdon on the road at Ridgeview. Pre-game 6:45, kickoff at 7, right here on 93.5 WXM tomorrow night. I want to say thank you to both of those coaches, Garrett Amberger and Dwayne Stanley, for joining us tonight. Also, thank you to Honecker head coach Todd Tiller and Patrick Henry head coach Seth Padgett for joining us to preview their big game over in Hoogahoogee tomorrow night as well. Coming up, it's a big game tonight in the Cumberland District and a Region 1 D. It's Thomas Walker on the road at east side of Carl McConnell Stadium in Coburn. We have the game coming up for you later on this evening, but coming up next, we talk to the coaches, Tanner Hall and Mike Rhodes, right here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
We're coming to your city, Coburn, or maybe even just coming to your town tonight, as it is Thomas Walker and Eastside for you here on 93.5 WAXM. Coming up later on this evening, right after Pigskin Picks kickoff at 7 o'clock from Carl McConnell Stadium in Coburn, as the Spartans play host to the Thomas Walker Pioneers. The first two teams right now outside looking in at the Region 1D playoffs. Thomas Walker right now would be the 9 seed, Eastside at the number 10 spot. Only the top 8 make it to the playoffs. The winner of this game is in a lot better shape. The loser of this game is in some trouble heading into the final 2 weeks of the regular season. After this week for Thomas Walker, they're at home for the final 2 weeks of the year, as they'll play host to Twin Springs next Friday night, and then we'll have their final game of the year over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, as they'll play host to J.I. Burton on Friday, November 3rd. For Eastside, they take on Auburn next week and then close out the year against Castlewood on November 3rd for Mike Rhodes and the Spartans. Big game for both of these sides, and they need a big win for both sides. Let's look at Thomas Walker first. They're at 4-3 on the year, and that loss to Hurley, that sort of head-scratching loss to the Rebels just 2 weeks ago, is sort of sitting out there as they lost to Hurley at home 52-23 just 2 weeks ago. They're coming off a win, though, over Twin Valley last week. They're right now 1-1 in the district, as they have the win over Castlewood, but a loss to Rye Cove in shutout fashion earlier on this year. Their second-year head coach, Tanner Hall, looking to take a big step forward for Thomas Walker, as they've not been to the postseason since 2019. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Pioneers, Tanner Hall. Tanner, it's been a year of where you all started off the big win over Cumberland Gap. You had a couple of tough losses there sprinkled in as well, including a district play to Rye Cove. Most recently, a loss 2 weeks ago to Hurley. Where are you feeling your team is at going into the final three games of the year going into Thursday night?
You know, we we kind of talk with them, and you know, they understand that these next three games are big ones. And you know, you start talking about kind of the evolution and where we want this thing to go. You know, we want to be playing in big games towards the end of the year. So looking forward to it. Our kids are excited for the run we've got coming up. And, of course, got a real big one Thursday. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, you all got the either the luck of the draw or the bad draw that you do finish out the year of three consecutive district games. Eastside on the road this week, Twin Springs, and J.I. Burton at home. The next 2 weeks, we'll have the J.I. Burton game over on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD, in a couple of weeks there on that Friday night when the Raiders come to Ewing to take on the Pioneers. But your team, I saw you early on in the Jamboree at J.I. Burton prior to the year. Darren Goley looked to be a terrific player. You all got off to a nice start there. What is the big thing for him so far this year in his development at quarterback for you all?
Well, the main thing is, you know, he understands the offense, I think, at a much higher rate than he did last year, and understands, you know, not the plays that we're running, but while we're running them. And he's done a good job taking care of the football this year. I think it's a big improvement from last year. And you know, he's, I think, right at 1,000 yards right now for the year. So, I mean, he put in a lot of work this offseason. He's really been dialed in. He's having a decent year.
You brought up the playoff implications and playing in big games at the end of the year. I've asked a couple of coaches this week as the points have been released by the VHSL in recent weeks, getting set for the playoffs. Coming up here in a few weeks for you all, I'm guessing you probably know where you stand at. How close are you and your staff and even your team keeping an eye on where the points are week in and week out here as you round out the regular season?
Well, yeah, we've seen where we're at, and you know, we understand, you know, these next three are going to determine our fate of making the postseason or not, and so, you know, they're all big ones, and so we're kind of right on that bubble right now. But you know, the team that wins this Thursday is going to be in a much better situation than they are right now, so it's definitely a big one.
Yeah, certainly right there, neck and neck with you all in Eastside so far this year. Speaking of Eastside, their head coach, Mike Rhodes, is a guy you know pretty well. You know better than most because not only did you coach under him at Eastside for a couple of years, but also he was an assistant coach at Union while you played quarterback there for Travis Turner and the Bears during your high school career as well. Now going up against him for a second time after beating him last year in your first year, Thomas Walker, what do you know to expect out of a Mike Rhodes football team from what you've seen from inside his own program?
Well, the first thing is that, you know, they're well coached and they're going to be ready to play. It's going to be a physical game. You know, we're still pretty close, so we know we're going to get each other's best shot. And you know, you kind of look forward to this week each year, playing those guys. And, you know, like I said, they're going to be ready to play. They're going to play hard. They're going to be physical. And, you know, you kind of know what you're going to get from them. I mean, they're not trying to hide anything from you. They're going to line up, come right at you, and they're going to load the box on you on defense and you know, make you beat them over the top. So,
what are going to be the biggest keys for your team on Thursday night to come out for a win on the road?
Well, I think one is, you know, we talked to them about the fact that it's a big game. I think you get that out of the way early, and, you know, really, once you get that out of the way, we're going to have to play sound defense, take care of the football. I think whoever wins the turnover battle is probably going to win the game. And, you know, it's going to boil down to execution. You know, they're a young team, and we're a team that, you know, we've not been in this situation as far as late in the year having a chance for the postseason in a little bit. So I think, you know, both sides, whoever takes care of the football, obviously blocks the best, tackles the best, is going to win. So that's what it's going to boil down to.
That was head coach of the Thomas Walker Pioneers, Tanner Hall, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. They head on the road tonight to Carl McConnell Stadium in Coburn to take on Eastside, and head coach Mike Rhodes is in somehow year number six as the head coach of the Spartans after spending so many years as an assistant coach for Travis Turner at Union as his defensive coordinator. Now in year six of running his own program up in Coburn in the Cumberland District, missing the playoffs now last year and remembering that spring season of 2021 2 years ago. So they've missed missed the playoffs now two out of the last three seasons, trying to make sure it's not three out of the last four for Eastside here. And a big step in that direction would be a win tonight over Thomas Walker. They've taken some steps forward for a young team coming off a 1-9 season in 2022. They were sort of expected to be sort of still in the back burner of the Cumberland District this year. They've not been. They've lost four games in close fashion to Central, Chilhowee, Rycove, and Twin Springs in the last 2 weeks. Close losses won't do it for them if they want to make it to the playoffs in the final 3 weeks of the year, though. They need a big win tonight. Here's my conversation with the head coach of the Spartans, Mike Rhodes. Coming off last year, we hadn't spoke much during the season. We talked obviously in the preseason, Coach, but coming off last year, you went 1-9. What's been the biggest things out of your team that you've seen in the growth that now have them in a place where they're competing for a playoff spot in the latter portion of the season in late October?
You know, I think just they sat down at the end of the year and kind of had a players meeting, and we wanted to shift the culture. And, you know, I think they've done a good job of that and holding each other accountable. This is probably one of the most close-knit teams that I've ever been a part of. I mean, they, you know, they do things, they go out to eat, and, you know, they're just really close, and they take playing for each other to serious, and you can tell on the field.
You're sitting there 3-4, but boy, the four losses have been by heartbreaking fashion, really. Touchdown loss to Central in week one, a close loss to Chilhowee back in September. You lost in a, ended up being a 12-point game, but it was a close game against Rycove a couple weeks ago, just lost by 8 to Twin Springs. What are you all trying to do going into the final few weeks of the year with Thomas Walker on Thursday night, obviously Auburn next week, and then you close out the year against Castlewood to make sure you all are going to, if these are close games, and some of these are expected to be coming down the end of the year, that you are going to take the steps to win the close games coming down the end of the season? Because obviously you already did so against Hurley back in week two.
Right. You know, it's been tough. I mean, I won't lie to you. You know, it's been hard on the kids because they're giving everything they got. They leave it all out on the field. And, you know, to lose in that kind of fashion is tough. But it also tells you about how far they've come to be in those ball games. You know, some of those ball games were blowouts last year, but we're in every single ball game. You know, so the effort has never been questioned. We just got to finish, find a way to finish and make one or two more plays to change some of those ball games. And, you know, but I'm proud of our kids' effort. And, you know, from where we've came, you know, two of those losses come to the second, third team in the PowerPoint. Yep. And so Howie's up there pretty high, you know, and we've been in every ball game with a chance to win. We just got to, you know, we keep preaching, find a way to kick the door in. You know, we're knocking on the door, but we got to kick that door in.
I was telling you prior we got started, to be the first time I see you all is on Thursday night against Thomas Walker, and I've heard about is Hamilton all year long. Is this kid special? This kid's really taking some steps there for them. What's special about him?
You know, Kelvin's doing a great job for us as a freshman, you know, at running back and linebacker. But, you know, I really think, you know, it benefits him too up front. And you know, we got a good 1-2 punch with him and the Trent kid, kind of thunder and lightning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the thing about Kelvin is Kelvin works when nobody's looking. You know, he comes in at 6 a.m. in the off season to get his workouts in where he plays other sports. He stays after and does extra running. And, you know, he puts in the work. And you know, that's what it takes. But he's having a great year for a freshman. And you know, and I know he would be the first to credit his offensive line. And, you know, I'm just proud of him and proud of the team and their effort.
You brought up the points there when you're talking about Rycove and Twin Springs moments ago in your last two losses. How much are you all paying closely to the points coming down the end of the season? As you all know, you are trying to work your way into the side of the top eight there in these last three games.
Honestly, you know, I haven't figured up any points. I just saw it came out the other day and saw where everybody kind of was. We just need to take care of business these last 3 weeks and let the chips fall where they fall. If we take care of business, you know, I feel pretty good about it. But, you know, coming off of last season, end of this season, if we can take care of business and we are lucky enough to end up 6-4, then, you know, I think that's a successful season.
When you look at Thomas Walker, and they've got a coach that you know well in Tanner Hall, former assistant for you. You also coached him during his time when he was a player at Union back years ago in Big Stone Gap. He's now in his second season with the Pioneers. They're trying to work their way into the playoffs as well. They're sitting there at 4-3. What do you see out of the Pioneers when you look at them on film?
Well, you know, I think he's got most of his linemen back from last year. I think, you know, they were juniors last year, seniors this year. They're a physical group. You know, they play hard. The Gully kid's played since he was a freshman. The Curry kid is also played a lot of football. So, you know, they're a veteran team. So we're going to have to go out and execute. But they're tough, and they do things well. They run the football, and the gully kid throws it really well. And they got a couple weapons on the outside as well. So it ought to be a good game.
This is sort of reminding me of a time about 2 years ago where y'all played Thomas Walker up there, Carl McConnell on a Thursday night. It was when your buddy Nick Johnson was the head coach of the Pioneers. It was a tightly contested game. Fog rolled in. There was a delay due to lightning at that time that night as well. It was a Thursday night clash. What's going to be the biggest keys for y'all to make sure y'all take this one for a win on Thursday night?
You know, like I said earlier, I think we just need to execute and make those plays, those one or two extra plays that, you know, we failed to make so far this season. But, you know, I think if we come out and we play our brand of football, it kind of bodes for these cold nights and things like that. So I feel good about our chances, but by no means are we going to just come out here and they're going to lay down, because they're a well-coached football team who play really hard, and, you know, we're going to have to execute and do things right the right way.
That was head coach of the Eastside Spartans, Mike Rhodes, joining us here on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. It's Thomas Walker. It's Eastside. It's coming up for you right after Pigskin Picks here tonight at 7 o'clock on a Thursday night high school football edition on 93.5 WAXM. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk some college football. Yes, please do us the honor of listening to us talk about some college football tonight. As Corey Sanchez and Zach Hill will rejoin me, we'll talk about Tennessee's win over Texas A&M, Virginia Tech. Win number 3, ACC win number 2, as they take down Wake Forest last week, and we'll hit the eliminator. We'll see if there's any controversy this week in that regard with myself, Sanchez, and Helton. Also, 4 downs of college football questions. Not really a question about Shane Beamer, just an indictment of his character. Also, who's in the playoff right now and who should win the Heisman? And that big game in Columbus, Penn State and Ohio State. Who needs to win more for the coaches on those two sidelines? We'll touch on all of that as we continue. It's Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton here with you tonight. As always, want to say a big thank you to Todd Tiller, Seth Padgett, Garrett Amberger, Dwayne Stanley, Tanner Hall, and Mike Roach for joining us here tonight on the show to preview their big games in high school football tonight. We step out of the high school slate for a moment to talk college football, coming up here in just a few moments, fellas. But before we get to that, we do need to give out our Terry Kilgore Leadership Award for the week, and that goes to the senior quarterback from Union. Rayshon Anderson had a big game against Central last Friday night. 13 out of 15, 170 yards, 2 touchdowns, through the air. He also had 5 rushes for 61 yards and another 2 touchdowns for a total of 4 TDs and 231 yards against the Warriors in the 48-0 win for the Bears. Mm-hmm. Our Leadership Award winner for this week, the senior quarterback from Union, Rayshon Anderson. Congratulations to Rayshon and Union for the award. And we say a big thank you as well, as always, to the good delegate, Terry Kilgore, who was in attendance for that game. He was there for the coin toss between the Bears and the Warriors last Friday night. Let's head to college football, fellas. Number 19, Tennessee defeats Texas A&M 20-13. Let's go quick here, Corey. You said you watched this game. We were talking earlier. The Vols pulled out over the Aggies, but it wasn't pretty.
No, it was not. It was ugly. And I've seen, prettier things in Port-A-John than watching that game on Saturday. I don't know where the offense is, Jacob. You say you don't trust them, as we've talked in the past about it, and I can see why. Just some bizarre things that happen, especially when they're moving the ball and turning the ball over and everything. They look more like a 3-4 team rather than a 6-1 team right now.
And they almost picked up that loss. Texas A&M's not some offensive juggernaut. I will say this, Tennessee's defense is pretty darn good. Tennessee's defense right now is 8th, mm-hmm. according to Pro Football Focus in the country. They got a defensive lineman, James Pierce Jr., who's won the Defensive Lineman of the Week by the SEC a couple of occasions now. He's ranked by Pro Football Focus as the best defensive lineman in the country, not in the SEC, in the country right now for number 27. He has been terrific. The only way Texas A&M could stop him was holding him against the Aggies this past week. Couldn't happen to a better guy. He's played really well for Tennessee, was great in the South Carolina game as well. I like the way he's playing. I love the way this defense is playing. But no, I do not trust the offense. The offense has been atrocious by their standards. Now, they're still 5th in the conference in points. They're still averaging 33 points per game. They only scored 20 against Texas A&M, but they are still averaging 33 points per game. They're still a top 25 offense in the country. By what you expect, though, from a Josh Heupel offense, this does not carry the task for the Volunteers right now. They have to improve because they've got big road games this week against Alabama. Then they go to Kentucky. In November, they have road game at Missouri and a home game against Georgia. They've got 4 massive games in the next 5 weeks. They've got to get the offense rolling if they want to pick up some wins in those games and stay in the hunt in the SEC East. Virginia Tech defeats Wake Forest 30-13. Zach, the Hokies are 3-4. We all like the Hokies in this matchup over the Demon Deacons. Win number 3 for Brent Pry and the Hokies. Win number 2 in the ACC.
Hokie, hokie, hee, hokie, hokie, hi. Hey, things are shaping up rather nicely. I think there's a couple of winnable games down the stretch. This Hokie team may get into a bowl. Stay tuned.
They've got to get 3 out of their next 5. We'll see if Brent Pry and the Hokies can do so there for the folks over in Blacksburg. Other games last week in college football, Washington defeated Oregon 36-33. Myself and Zach had the Huskies. Notre Dame steamrolls USC 48-20. Our guest picker Nick Dugan had the Trojans. North Carolina gets by Miami 41-31. Myself and Zach had the Tar Heels at home. Missouri steamrolls over Kentucky at Kroger Field like a buggy down the milk aisle. 38-21. We all had the Wildcats, though, in that matchup. Florida defeats South Carolina 41-39. Corey was the only one on the Gators. Oregon State defeats UCLA 36-24. Dugan had the Bruins. Mars Hill over Emory Henry 24-14. We all had the Lions. And it was Tusculum defeating UVA Wise 35-7. We all had the Pioneers. Last week, it was myself and Zach 8 out of 10 in college. Corey 7 out of 10. Nick 4 out of 10. Standings in college. 52 out of 71, 73.2% for me. Corey 47, 66.2%. Zach 45, 63.4%. Fellas, let's go quick here on 4 downs of college football questions. First down, Zach. Shane Beamer broke his foot after kicking something following the loss to Florida. That's not really a question, but a statement about his usual childlike behavior. You take that however you want.
Yeah, not a good look for Shane. Yeah, he's having a tough year. Not a real good look, but hopefully he can learn from it.
We'll see. It's the opposite of that usual thing he does on the sideline when his team's doing something good and he's jumping all around like Mr. Happy-Go-Lucky, like a 6-year-old on the playground.
He can't jump now.
Yeah, can't jump right now, but he jumps. He will be going down quickly for the Gamecocks. Corey, any thoughts about Beamer?
What last year he was winning games that he shouldn't have won, and he's kicking things that he shouldn't kick, and look what happened to him.
He's his career is right now thriving on 2 weeks.
Right, and I'm just telling you this right now. Maybe they might make a video about it because, you know, he's big into the video production and everything during the off season. Maybe they need to go inside that. And I wish they had like a mic'd up session like they do on the NFL Network during the coaches, and that would have been hilarious to see him in the motion and doing all that stuff. They need to put a wire on some of these college coaches for sure.
SEC Network does that. They do a game each week, SEC Inside. Florida, South Carolina was not their game this week, though. That's the only issue. I have no further comments about Beamer. We all know my case. Second down, who needs a win more Saturday, Corey? Ryan Day in Ohio State or James Franklin in Penn State for those coaches on Saturday between the Nittany Lions and Buckeyes in Columbus?
I really think it's Ryan Day just because of the fact that this is at home. They're 6-0. And it hasn't been the prettiest, and people are kind of discounting them, right? So I would say Ryan Day. I think James Franklin, I think he'll be okay because, hey, this is a game at Ohio State that, you know, you probably won't win, I think, in a different direction on this. But, I think that Ryan Day needs to win more than James Franklin does.
Both of these teams trying to catch up to Jim Harbaugh in Michigan right now, Zach. They've been in the playoff the last 2 years, have been the Wolverines. They've won the conference the last 2 years, just coming out recently that the Big Ten is confirming that the NCAA is investigating Michigan once again, this time for possible in-person scouting in an attempt to learn opponents' play-calling signs. So Harbaugh and the Wolverines under investigation by the NCAA once again. But who needs a win more right now between his two rivals, Ryan Day or James Franklin?
Well, all that you mentioned, I thought that was just par for the course for college football. I thought that was pretty acceptable. I didn't even know they were going to investigate that. Besides the fact, James Franklin, I think people in Pennsylvania love him. I don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon unless he wants to go. I think they're happy with 10-win years and no scandals. I think Ryan Day, though, the magnifying glass is always on Ohio State. I think Ryan Day needs a win more than almost anyone in college football right now.
James Franklin always rumored around some of the bigger jobs when they open. He was rumored around USC a couple years ago, rumored around Florida State previously as well. Certainly never on the hot seat, but he does not have a good record in these games against his rivals, Ohio State and Michigan. We'll pick the game coming up later on, but I think it's Ryan Day as well. Ryan Day's calling card right now is that he beats everybody. His record is something in 5 as a head coach. Problem is, 2 of those losses are recently to Michigan the last 2 years. He beats almost everybody else in the regular season. I don't believe he has another Big Ten regular season loss other than Michigan the last 2 years. That's an impressive thing to say. I don't care what anybody says about you. But for Ryan Day, he needs to keep that record clean in that regard. I'll say it's Ryan Day as well. Third down here, fellas. This is about the Heisman Trophy. Let's go quick. Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback at Washington, or Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback at Oklahoma right now for the trophy? Or is it someone else, Zach?
I think it's Dylan Gabriel. He's on pace to shatter everything he did last year. And I think as long as Oklahoma keeps winning, he's going to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
Corey?
I don't know. When you got fanfare and ESPN's in the bag for these guys, Michael Penix Jr., he's got that big energy as well.
I heard that from Desmond Howard, and I don't believe he was pronouncing that name correctly, if memory serves me, if how I remember how he pronounced his name when he was committed to playing
Tennessee.
Him and
RG3, man. They're wild.
Michael Penix Jr. for me as well. I said this last week, I think, and maybe even a couple weeks ago. I think they're very similar to the Tennessee a year ago as Washington. I think last week's win is very good for them. I think they're going to be in the hunt. I think they're going to come up just short of the playoff, though, but Penix maybe may get the Heisman Trophy that Hendon Hooker didn't find last year. I'd say it's Penix Jr. right now as well, but there's not a QB in the country I love watching more than Dylan Gabriel. Fourth down, fellas, let's go quick here. Who are the 4 teams on the college football playoff right now, Corey?
Georgia, Michigan, Florida State, and I will go with the Longhorns as well.
Wow. Texas right now, even in over Oklahoma right now with the loss of them, mm-hmm. No Pac-12 team in for Corey. Zach, where are you at?
I'm going to go Georgia, Ohio State, Florida State, and I'm going to go Washington.
He's leaving out the Big 12 in just general. No Texas, no Oklahoma, and that went in for him.
No defense, no cry.
Yeah, I'm in a similar scenario with him as well right now, I think. Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Florida State. If we're talking about right now, that's the playoff in my eyes. Those are your four teams. Now, the question is, could maybe another conference get a multiple team in there? Could a second Big Ten team slide in there, maybe cause some other issues? I'm with Zach, though. I think the Big 12 would get left out at the moment if it's Oklahoma, the champion. If it's Texas, maybe it'd be a different conversation. All right, fellas, College Football Eliminator. We had a lot of disagreement on this segment a week ago. We just didn't get to hear it. Corey's team, Alabama, Michigan, Oregon, Oklahoma. My team, Georgia, Penn State, Texas, USC. Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, North Carolina. Corey, your whole group won except for Oregon. Are you ready to drop the Ducks?
I'll stay pat with the Ducks for right now. So yeah, I know you've got some changes coming.
Corey's sticking with Oregon. My team, Georgia, Penn State, Texas, USC. Yes, USC lost. I'm not dropping them yet, though. I'm not giving up on the Trojans yet. You beat Utah, a different conversation starts to happen. They've got enough big games in their schedule to get back in the race. Remember, we got to fill the thing with 12 different teams. I still think they're one of the top 12 teams. Zach, do you want to make any changes to your team that just continues to win?
No, I'm staying put. I am right where I want to be right now.
High cotton, my friend. High cotton. We're all going to stick with our teams. Again, that's Corey, Alabama, Michigan, Oregon, Oklahoma. My team, Georgia, Penn State, Texas, USC, Zach, Ohio State, Florida State, Washington, and North Carolina. We'll see if any changes come by for the Eliminator next week when we're back with you here. Coming up, it's the Eastman Credit Union guest picker, Andrew McClung from WCYB, as we pick games for Thursday night in high school football and other games across the slate of Northeast Tennessee and Southwest Virginia for Friday night and college football games for the weekend as well. We continue. It's Pigskin Picks, 93.5 WAXM.
Each morning I arrive while the world still sleeps, slicing fresh cuts of certified Angus beef.
Yeah, that's my food, City Butcher. I need your advice.
How about a gourmet burger with a little spice?
I'm hosting a cookout, and it has to sizzle.
Try ribeyes with balsamic glaze, but just a drizzle.
Nobody does food like Food City.
Delegate Terry Kilgore proudly serving Virginia's 1st District in the House of Delegates. Terry Kilgore is a loyal and proud supporter of Southwest Virginia schools, as well as the revitalization of our area that we love to call home. Visit DelegateKilgore.com to learn more about Delegate Terry Kilgore.
From boats and motorcycles to campers and so much more, great adventures are just a click away with RV loans from Eastman Credit Union. Plus, enjoy no payments for 90 days.
ECU helped us find the RV loan that we needed.
We chose ECU for our RV loan because they have such great rates. We think everybody should choose ECU.
Live your dream now. Apply today at ecu.org/fun. Eastman Credit Union.
We're here talking Virginia Medicaid with Misty Lee of Anthem Health Keepers Plus. Misty, tell us why Medicaid renewals are so important.
Members who don't renew their Medicaid benefits will lose their health coverage.
What does a Medicare member have to do to keep their coverage?
The best thing they can do is make sure their mailing address is correct with the state. Anthem Health Keepers Plus members can call 1-800-901-0020 and check their address. They also need to contact their local DSS office and make sure their address is correct in the state system.
Closing time. Welcome back to Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM at a special time here on a Thursday. I know you're used to having us at 8 o'clock on Thursday nights, but due to the Thomas Walker East Side game being moved up from Friday to Thursday night, and us having a broadcast of that game tonight, we were starting off today at 5 p.m., our usual Friday airtime on the re-air, now at Thursday at 5 p.m. this week, as we've got the game coming up here in just a few moments from Thomas Walker and Eastside. We'll pick that game and a few other Thursday games as well here in just a few moments. Jacob Townsend, Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton here with you as always on a Thursday night on Pigskin Picks on 93.5 WAXM. But it's now time for us to pick some games. And, fellas, let's take a quick look at our Eastman Credit Union guest picker standings before we get to this week's guest picker. Alan Greker, who got in touch with me yesterday, wanted to make sure he was still in the number one slot. He wanted to get sort of a look at what was coming ahead of who his next guys coming up to try to take down his honor would be in the coming weeks. I let him know that Alan's in a pretty good spot moving forward unless somebody just has almost maybe a perfect week, as Alan had a 92.3% week a few weeks ago, 24 out of 26. His buddy Tim Hayes from the Herald Courier is in the two spot at 76%. Our defending champion, Pat Kenny, still in third place at 73.7%. From WCYB, they've got the 4 and a 5 spot. We'll get the WCYB here in just a moment as well. If Casey Getz and Heather Williams are 2021 champion, Casey at 70.8%, Heather at 69.6%. Our guest picker last week, Nick Dugan from WJHL, had a really good slate there in the high school games. College derailed his week as he went 4 out of 10 in the college games. He ends at 68%, and his boss, Kenny Hawkins, in the 7th spot from WJHL at 60.9%. And Tanner Cook, right now, still in last place in the 8th spot at 59.3%. And our Eastman Credit Union guest picker this week from News Channel 5 WCYB, Andrew McClung. Andrew, as always, thanks so much for joining us, man. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, yeah. Thank you all again for having me. Hopefully I can do a lot better this year because I know I was towards the bottom last year.
That's okay. We've begun to notice a few things. It's the third year we've done this, Andrew, that no, don't take this the wrong way, but the people who are usually in the bottom of the list 1 year, they're usually pretty consistent in staying there. Now, hopefully you can found those expectations. Hopefully you can found those expectations, but just putting that out there.
As long as I beat Kenny and Nick, I'll consider it a good week.
Okay, all right. That's a little WCYB-WJHL rivalry. WCYB's up on that slot right now, but you've got a lot more of you guys to get to in the coming weeks than we have left of WJHL people to get to as well. So I think you all are going to be okay in that spot. Fellas, let's go ahead and pick some Thursday games here. I want to get to these games first just in case if maybe we get cut off there by the end for when me and Corey come on the air for the game coming up in a few moments. So let's pick the Thursday games first. Corey, I'm going to start off with you, sir. We got the game coming up here in just a few moments. Thomas Walker's on the road at Eastside, a big Cumberland District clash. These are the first two teams out of the Region 1D playoffs at the moment. Thomas Walker at 4-3, Eastside at 3-4. Thomas Walker won this game a year ago. Corey, actually, they've won the last two in this series, as they won 2 years ago as well up in Coburn. Tonight, it's the Spartans hosting the Pioneers. Who do you like as we got this game coming up next right here on 93.5 WXM?
You mean we aren't live? Anyway, I know Jake will be out there signing autographs. And
I'm loved in both of these communities.
We know. I think that Eastside is going to come through with the home victory. Just hopefully it's not a lightning delay or anything like we had 2 years ago.
Yes, hopefully as well. I mean, it's almost too very close to what happened a couple years ago. Game gets moved to Thursday night. I've got to work again early Friday morning. I'm very scared. Weather's in the forecast. We may be in some trouble, Corey.
Jacob, I almost wore the same shirt that I wore 2 years ago to this game. And I was like, I'm throwing this shirt back. I said, I'm just throwing it back. Because I remember the picture that Alan Gregory took.
That's
of
right.
So I'm good. I'm good there.
Well, I'm good in that regard as well. I gave that shirt I had on that night away. Andrew, who do you like in this match between Thomas Walker and Eastside?
This is an Eastside team that's probably a couple plays away from being, instead of a 3-4 squad, probably a 5-2 squad. So Howie, it feels like they should have won that game, and then the beginning of the season, it feels like they should have beat Central. I really think this Eastside team is a lot better than their record shows, and I think Mike Rhodes has a good bunch, and I think they need this win just a little bit more than Thomas Walker if they want to get in the playoffs.
Eastside for everybody so far. Zach, you've been high on the Spartans throughout the year. Does that continue tonight?
Well, you know, we're big Cumberland people here on the show. We roll out the red carpet for the Cumberland.
Save for the ones in the back.
We want to talk as much high school sports as possible. So I'm going to go Eastside at home in this one. I think it's going to be a close one, but I like the Spartans at home.
Yeah, I didn't tell you all this during the last segment, but, you know, I had the interview segments of all the coaches earlier on. We had Tanner Hall, Mike Rhodes on the show there in segment 3. since we're going to their city tonight, I thought it'd be a perfect time to play the College Game Day song, right? We're coming to your city. We're coming to you, Coburn. So we had the old-fashioned College Game Day song for them during the last segment. I just thought it made a lot of sense, in my opinion.
Very petty, Jacob.
I have no clue what you're talking about. I'm going to go with Eastside at home as well, but boy, I'm a little scared here. We're all going Spartans. Boy, I tell you what, the folks right now in Thomas Walker are hearing this on their way into the stadium. Very happy to hear that because they love that chip on their shoulder. Coming off the big win over Twin Valley last week, the winner of this game is in pretty good shape, I think, for the postseason. The loser of this game, it's a tough sled coming down the last two games. For Thomas Walker, they've got Twin Springs and J.I. Burton at home the next 2 weeks. For Eastside, they got Auburn next week, followed by a game against Castlewood to end out the year. A winner of this game is feeling a little bit more comfortable than the loser. I'm going to take Eastside as well, though. Give me the Spartans at home. We're all on Eastside. I love this matchup. Rye Cove's on the road at Chilhowee tonight, Andrew. Big matchup in Region 1D. Cumberland versus the Hogo. The Eagles trying to stay atop that top tier with Honaker and making sure they're getting a home playoff game. Chilhowee's starting to slip a little bit in the points right now. Some tough losses recently, but they get the Eagles at home tonight. How does it go in Smith County?
Hogo is a no-go to pick tonight because Rye Cove, I mean, they're arguably one of the other best teams. I mean, everybody talks about Honaker. Everybody talks about Patrick Henry. Rye Cove, I mean, just quietly having a great season. That only one loss against Honaker, and, I mean, Landon Lane knows how to put up the points on offense. I mean, with his feet, with his arm through the air, give me Rye Cove and give me Rye Cove by 3 touchdowns.
Woo, Rye Cove Bix is Andrew. Zach, how you feeling over there on Middle Fork?
Yeah, I'm going to go War Eagle to fly on this one. Sorry, Sabo. Sorry, Steve. I'm going to go War Eagle.
Yeah, we got to do a lot of apologies. I was the only one last week, Cord, that picked Royal Retreat. Everybody was on Chilhowee. Right now, it feels like everybody's starting to move off the Warriors. Where are you at?
Oh, yeah, I'm hem-hawing around this one. But I think, I know it's a short week for Rico, but I think Gary Collier and the company, they pull out in a close one.
Everybody's on Rye Cove, as am I. Chilhowee slipped right now all the way down to the 8th spot in the point standings. Only about 3 points ahead of Thomas Walker, about a point and a half ahead of Eastside. It's not a great place to be right now for Reed Sturgeon, the first-year Warriors. They need a win tonight, but they're not going to get one. I'm with you guys. I like Rye Cove on the road. Holston crosses the state line, but it's not a far trip for them, Zach. They just head up over to Mountain City to take on Johnson County. It's the Cavaliers and the Longhorns. Holston's 4-3. Johnson County's 5-3. Who do you like tonight in the Volunteer State? Zach.
You know I love Mountain City.
I know you do.
There's some great people over there. I'm going to go Longhorns at home.
There's been nobody in the history of this show to pick more Johnson County games in a season than Zach Hilton has done this year. It burned him early. It's really went out for him well in the last couple of weeks as they boosted their record to 5-3. He loves Mountain City. He loves Roan Mountain. He loves anything with the mountain name in their town. Corey, but who do you like in this matchup between Holston and Johnson County?
Yeah, I don't think Holston has a steakhouse named after their mascot, so I'm going to go with Johnson County.
Everybody on Johnson County so far, Andrew. How about you?
A couple weeks ago on our prep pick show on WCYB, we picked Johnson County against Chucky Doak. I was the only person to pick Johnson County, and I felt a lot better this week picking Johnson County because they're probably riding one of the hottest streaks in the area in Northeast Tennessee right now. I mean, they're setting themselves up to more than likely be that 2 seed in the Region 1 Class 3 right there. And, I mean, their quarterback, Connor Simcox, probably one of the best quarterbacks in the area that nobody's ever talked about. He's 6'4", huge, stout guy. He started since his freshman year, so it's crazy to have a quarterback say, yeah, I started nearly 40 games in high school, so give me the Longhorns. Just that size against Holston, just that will be the advantage for them. Holston's a good team, but Johnson County just having a lot more players will be a difference.
I broadcasted his first ever start, actually. He took on the extinct now Sullivan North and defeated the Raiders over in Kingsport back in 2020. I was on the air that night for that game. Everybody's on Johnson County so far. We've been unanimous on the first two games. That needs to change. I'm going to ride of Southwest Virginia here. Give me Chris Akers and Holston to get a nice win for them on the road. Holston needs a good win. They're down to number 7 right now in the Region 1D point standings. It's getting shaky right now for some teams. Holston finds a little bit of a stable ground tonight, though. They get a nice win on the road. Give me the Cavaliers. I love this game in Northeast Tennessee, Corey. Chucky Doak, they head over to Unicoi County. I know Chucky Doak's the black hole, but it gets dark early in Unicoi County sometimes on a Thursday night as they take on the Blue Devils. Who do you like over in Irwin?
Oh, gosh, Jake. You're killing me, son. On the road, you know how I like the old okie dokes and everything down there, but they lost this one last year at home. I'm going to go with Unicoi County.
Unicoi County's won three of the last four. Andrew, who wins this one?
Oh, this is a tough one. I mean, this is a game, like I said, that region's kind of a mess right now because whoever loses this game tonight more than likely is going to be the four seed. They're going to have to go on the road to face eight-time defending champion Alcoa. I think that loser that's going to end up going on the road will be Unicoi County because I think the Black Knights get a much-needed win after that loss a couple weeks ago to Johnson County. So give me Chucky Doak on the road.
Andrew with the road team, Corey with the home team. Zach, which side are you laying on?
Well, you know, one of my favorite shows as a kid was Rugrats, and Chucky was very apprehensive, had a lot of, didn't like to go out of his own box, and, he had a lot of anxiety, which I kind of feel that as I'm older, not so much when I was a child. But I think Chucky Doak goes on the road with no anxiety and gets the win at Unicoi County.
Chucky Doak for Zach and Andrew. I'm
going to
go with...
Hopefully that's good enough for the message board people.
Hey, thank you. Zach and Andrew on the pick with Chucky Doak. I'm going to go for you, Corey. I'm going to take Drew Rice and Unicoi County at home. I'm going to take Unicoi County at home.
Buddy.
Thank you very much. Let's keep it there in Northeast Tennessee. Tennessee High and Westridge. This is a fun Thursday night battle here, Andrew. The Vikings have been rolling of late, but Westridge has three losses, but they're the three good teams. Who wins tonight in Bluntville up there near the interstate?
I think it's going to be whoever wins the coin toss, honestly. And I think Westridge, being the home team, they don't have to worry about choosing. So I think Tennessee High is going to lose the coin toss. I think this game is going to be low scoring. I like a 14-7 Westridge game in this one. They don't have Trey Frazier anymore just with that broken hand. But I still think Westridge is a really – they've got a lot of good skill players, Shane Amix in the backfield at running back. So give me the Wolves at home.
Westridge for Andrew. Zach, where are you at on this one?
You know what? I'm going to go Ridgeview South and home in this one. I think they get back on the right side of things.
Corey, everybody's on Westridge so far. How about the Vikings on the road, though?
Yeah, let's go with the Vikings. I'll go contrarian here.
Contrarian pick out of Corey. He's going to go with Tennessee High on the road. I'm going to go with the home team on this one as well. I'm going to buy in the Justin Hilton and Westridge with them for the home win here. I'm going to go with Westridge at home. Daniel Boone travels to Science Hill over to Kermit Tipton Stadium, Steve Spurrier Field. This game has some history from having to alter their schedule due to some rain and some flooding a couple of years ago to a Saturday game. This time they're going to move it up, Zach, to a Thursday night clash for the Trailblazers and the Hilltoppers. Who wins in Johnson City?
Well, with all the rain coming down, tomorrow, you got to feel good about those with the higher ground. I'm going to go Hilltoppers at home.
Good explanation. Corey?
Tampa Bay, they wore their creamsicle jerseys.
Love
on
them.
Sunday. How does that translate? Because Steve Spurrier was a quarterback for them when they were wearing the creamsicle.
Sure.
So if that's the case, Transit Property, give me Science Hill in the fighting Steve Spurriers.
They lost in the creamsicles, though, so I'm not quite caught all the way on that.
They lost a lot with Steve Spurrier.
Fair point. Andrew, who do you like in this one?
Trailblazers down Luke Jenkins for the rest of the season at quarterback. Give me Science Hill because of that.
I like Science Hill at home as well. Let's head to college football games, fellas. The game we'll have on 93.5 WAXM on Saturday at 2 o'clock. Erskine's looking for win number one, Corey. Old Shat Boyd making a return to Wise. UVA Wise looking for the first win in the wild. They're sitting there at 1-6. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff, pregame 1:30 here on WAXM. Who takes the victory at Carl Smith?
Well, I'm just glad you filled out the waiver form for us to pick these games. Erskine's still going to be looking for their first win of the season after this, as the Cavs bounce back and beat the what are they
the fleet
the flying sheets of Erskine's. Yeah.
And I'll get to Zach with the pick here in a moment, but he'll agree. Thank goodness the game's in Wise. Boy, it's a tough broadcast sometimes in this time of the year down in Due West over there at – or they don't play in Due West. What is that school they play at?
Greenwood. Wasn't it Greenwood?
Yeah, it's Greenwood. Yeah. Greenwood. Yeah. Woo, it's
hey,
a
as
tough
long as
broadcast.
You're wearing the right shirt. You're repping the right team. It doesn't matter, Jason.
I remember that. Thank you for the reminder. I'll certainly remember that. And Mo Smith never forgets. Andrew, where are you at on this one?
I don't know. This is a toss-up. I mean, if you look at Erskine's schedule, they have all these bad losses, and then all of a sudden this loss against Newberry doesn't look bad because Newberry's not a bad football team, but then you just don't put up points one week against Mars Hill. You don't put up any against Wingate. And then you almost beat Carson Newman. I think this is just a team you don't know what to expect from on a Saturday. And because of that, I mean, I don't know what to expect from Saturday, so I'm just going to go UVA Wise. Just be able to say that they've got a win. I think they get a second win.
UVA Wise for Andrew and Corey. That gets a clap out of Corey Sanchez. I can hear it already. Zach, where are you at on this one?
Rumor mill is swirling that at halftime they'll be the Highland Cavalier Marching Band will be doing a tribute to Shaq Boyd in remembrance of him being gone from the program. So look out for that at halftime. We're excited about that. I kind of think Erskine is going to pull out a road victory here. I saw them come back in a game 2 years ago down there staring straight into the sun against Bluefield State, and I think that program has the opportunity to make some noise on the road. I think Erskine's going to go in and get their first win.
My eyes have not ever recovered from broadcasting a game at
I think I had a surgery after the fact.
Oh,
yeah,
Betsy. Goodness, there's a lot that's not the same as me at that time last year, but that's one of the things that's not the same as me.
I feel like the engineer of that press box was cheated on by a broadcaster at some point, and he just wanted to go ahead and do it to every broadcaster ever since. So.
Yeah, until Kingdom Come. Yeah, I mean, because, yeah. Boy, you go and broadcast there. I don't care if it's September. I don't care if it's December in the middle of the night. The sun is going to be right in your eyeball. I mean, get ready. I'm going to take UVA Wise at home. Tusculum travels to Emory-Henry. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff, Andrew. Who do you like in this one back home?
I'm a Emory and Henry alma mater, but just because I'm that doesn't mean I'm going to pick Emory on Saturday. I'd like to win this year for the guest picker, so give me Tusculum.
Well, I tell you what, Ben Thompson and Josh Mancuso are not going to be happy with you, sir. That's
hey,
all
it's
I'm going to say.
Basketball game. I'll pick Emory in basketball this year. I mean, look at that. Their basketball team receiving top 25 votes.
Yeah.
I mean, how crazy is that?
Yeah, we heard.
We were wondering how long it would get into the show before you
brought
that up.
We were wondering. It only took till the Emory-Henry game had to come up there on the dial for that one to get brought up there about them receiving votes. Zach, that we heard that down through the grapevine this week, but how do they feel on the vine this week against Tusculum?
It should be a rainy day on Saturday, not real conducive for WASP behavior. And the Pioneers usually wear a lot of heavy garb, long sleeves, so I don't think they're going to get stung. I'm going to go Tusculum on the road in this one.
Corey, I think I already know where your pick is. I've already written it down.
Yeah, I think that I put my votes in, and Tusculum is receiving my votes to win this game.
Stand up for JT Burton. Stand up for JT Burton.
Corey. Hey, that's my boy, JT.
I know it is.
JT,
I know it
any
is.
Day of the week.
Yes. One of the very few basketball coaches, not the only one, there are more than one in my history of broadcasting, but one of the very few who has cut himself because he got so upset while coaching a game one
that
time.
That sounds like an emo song.
Thank
and
goodness.
And still didn't get anything on that suit or that dress shirt.
On that Easter suit, you're right.
That's right, an Easter suit. And looking like an Easter preacher, too, so
that's
shout
right.
out to him.
Well, it was 2 days after Thanksgiving.
Like a water bottle.
Yeah. Thank goodness Concord wasn't playing yet. Tusculum on the road. Mars Hill travels to Carson Newman. Zach, this is a nice mountain divisional game. Who do you like down there in Dumplin Valley in Jefferson City and Mossy Creek? We'll touch all of their nicknames down there for them between the Lions and the Eagles.
You know what? Mars Hill, this resurgence of this football program is impressive. If anyone's ever been to Mars Hill, that is a tough place to get kids to go to because it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. They've got a nice Bojangles that closes early, but that's it. I'm going to go Mars Hill on the road. I'm going to go Lions here.
I'll get to you in a minute, Corey, but I think you and I both can confirm the Sunoco is terrific as well. Andrew, who do you like in this matchup?
I mean, Mars Hill setting themselves up to just, I mean, have another great season. I mean, they look like a team that's on a mission, so give me Mars Hill.
Mars Hill for everybody. Corey, stand up for that Ingles Deli, my friend. You going to pick the Lions?
Hey. I tell you one thing, when you get to Mars Hill, you just have to go right, Jacob. Give me the Mountain Lions.
Tell you what, the memories, the stories. One of these days when we know we're done and we're going to make so many people so happy when that time comes, stories to tell. I'm going to go Mars Hill on the road as well.
We can write a book, and I think everyone on the message board will buy it.
That's right. And let me tell you this. I know we're not supposed to talk too much about college, but I've broadcasted 3 basketball games at Mars Hill. 1 I did without a lamp when I needed a lamp. 1 I did on the sideline, Corey. You were there for it, where yeah. I've never been more claustrophobic in my entire life, and I was inside a gymnasium that had about 15 mm-hmm. people inside of it. And the other one, I did have to bring a lamp to broadcast. You never know what you have to do at Mars Hill. You never know what you have to do at Mars Hill. And I also have done 2 football games there, one of which where I had my broadcast partner scream at some sorority girls. That's another story for another day. All right, ETSU travels to Chattanooga. It's a 1 o'clock kick. This is a fun one here, Corey. My alma mater taking on our deepest and darkest rival and most hated villain in the world. Who do you like in this battle between the Buccaneers and the Mocs?
Must be something about that blue and gold and everything, because I feel that way about Emory and Henry, too. But unfortunately, Jacob, I have to say go Mocs in this one. I think they dominate your Buccaneers.
That's fine. Andrew?
Jacob, ETSU might have got their first win against the Division I opponent this year last week, but I think all we learned from that game is they're not the worst team in FCS football. They're the second worst team in FCS football, so give me UT Chattanooga.
That's just rude and uncalled for. Zach?
Yeah, I'm going to go Chattanooga in this one.
Okay, that's fine.
Chattanooga.
That's fine. Let me say this.
Chattanooga.
Let me get the mic over here closer to me for a minute, if I may. I hate Chattanooga.
Hey, Jacob, here's a fun fact. There's actually a river in Chattanooga, unlike Johnson City.
Thank you.
Buccaneers could flow down a river.
Thank you. Thank you. There's not enough tears welling up in my eyes already, Zach. I appreciate that. I hate Chattanooga for everything in my being. My toenails and my fingernails grow out with hate Chattanooga in them. My blood soaks out with hate of Chattanooga. I despise the Mocs. I don't know what Mocs is. And let me tell you something. Like Terrell Owens near a basketball floor, their greatest alum this week, Chattanooga's about to get hit. Get ready, ETSU on the road. How about it? Appalachian State on the road at Old Dominion, 7 o'clock on NFL Network. Andrew, who do you like in this one between the Mountaineers and the Monarchs?
Good Sun Belt matchup. I mean, I miss when these games were like on a Monday or Tuesday instead of a Saturday on the NFL Network. I mean, just how bizarre to put a college game on the NFL Network. Sun Belt, it's the Fun Belt. Give me App State.
App State on the road. Old Dominion's playing a little bit better than people expected this year, Zach. Everybody sort of thought after that Virginia Tech game that they're not going to win a ton of games. Ricky Ronnie's squad 3-3. They're showing some fight. They're stealing some games, some would say. Zach, who do you like in this one, though, up there between Old Dominion and Appalachian State?
Well, I think you buried the lead there, and the fact of the matter is Virginia Tech's better than a lot of you people expected as well.
There it is.
So there you go.
There we go, Zach.
Hey, we need you people.
Those people who hate Chattanooga, that's what I'm talking about, you people. I'm going to Old Dominion at the home front for the win.
I just want to point out something. I picked them to beat Purdue this year. They lost to Purdue. I picked them to beat Wake Forest. They beat Wake Forest. That's all I'm saying. They're doing okay. They're about where I had them this year. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying about the old Hokies. And we'll talk about their favorite son here in a few moments, the child. Appalachian State is on the road. We're split so far here, though, Corey. App State for Andrew. Old Dominion for Zach. Where do you like in this one, Mr. Sanchez? Did you not like my answer? I heard some comments coming from you about my answer about Chattanooga. Did you not like that, sir?
Yeah, I thought that was a little mean-spirited. You know, get your popcorn. I ate popcorn in honor of Terrell Owens because I felt bad last night. With that being said, I've got some connections in 757. They are excited that this game is on the NFL Network, and nobody will probably watch it. But give me the Monarchs in this one to beat old App State.
Let me tell you something, Corey, speaking of Terrell Owens. When I look at that Old Dominion roster, all I can say is, that's my quarterback. That's my quarterback, man. That's all I can look at it when I see that roster.
I've been trying to tell Scott Jackson that for like 2 weeks now.
That's my quarterback.
They have to. They got to get the local boy from Southwest Virginia.
That's right. That's right. But I'm going to pick Appalachian State on the road. What's up? Let's see what you got, Mountaineers. Virginia's on the road at number 10, North Carolina. This is a 6:30 CW game. We've went from an NFL Network game, Zach, to a CW game. Not many shows are doing that this week. Only us. Get ready. Who do you like in this one, Owen Chapel Hill, between the Cavaliers and the Tar Heels?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about halftime shows earlier. Fun fact on the CW, they bring the frog out to dance at the half during those games. So that's neat. It's good to bring that nostalgia back. I'm going to go North Carolina at home, though. I think they're rolling right now. And I think this is just kind of like a little speed bump in their way with Virginia.
I tried to turn on a game on the CW the other day, and they went to halftime. They didn't even do a halftime show. They, like, try to fit in the reruns of One Tree Hill, Gilmore Girls, and Seventh Heaven, all in, like, a 20-minute halftime. It was really impressive. Andrew, who do you like in this?
Well, that's why I won't watch it. I had an ex-girlfriend play an extra on One Tree Hill once. And, I've definitely thrown that show out the window.
Yeah,
don't hate on that show, Zach. That's one of the best shows to ever be on television.
Wow.
One of the best shows ever.
I like
television.
It. I'm not sure I've ever said those words.
That's what my ex-girlfriend said when she got the $5 residual check.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, Chad Michael Murray, yes, please. Andrew, who do you like?
We talked about how ETSU and Wofford, two of the worst teams in FCS. UVA, there's no argument about that right now. They are the worst football team. Maybe they're the worst Power 5 team for sure. North Carolina, one of the best teams right now in Power 5. Give me the Tar Heels. Give me the Tar Heels by four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns, says Andrew McClung, Corey. I almost want to sing some Gavin DeGraw here. I'm going to refrain from myself, though, for the moment at least. But who do you like in this matchup over on the CW Saturday night?
You know, I think about this, and who would have a better redemption arc in this situation, UVA or Dan Scott? Either way,
thank you.
You're welcome. But I think in this situation, kind of like the brother in the situation, Dan Scott came out on top and lasted. This is going to be North Carolina's game. They will be the Dan Scotts there.
True. But the Keith Scott fan club is not happy with you right now.
It's all fine. I'll call my wife later and apologize.
Thank you. Please do so. I got to tell you something. I got some sad news this week, but I was always a big Brooke Davis fan myself. I'm going to go North Carolina, the home. Where was One Tree Hill set in? North Carolina.
I
have to go North Carolina. It's just sometimes that simple. I'm sorry, Zach, but we're going to have to go North Carolina, the home. Sorry to bring up so many more One Tree Hill comments for you. 3:30.
I'm gonna go on the internet and complain.
Thank you. 3:30 SEC Network, Corey. South Carolina, they need a win desperately. They're heading on the road, though, to Como. Take on number 20 Missouri. The Tigers are back in the top 25 after blowing out Kentucky. 3:30 SEC Network. Who do you like in Como between the Gamecocks and Tigers, Corey?
You know, isn't it ironic? Last year, Shane Beamer won games that he wasn't supposed to, and then last week he kicked something he wasn't supposed to. Situation doesn't really matter. Give me the Tigers.
That's MIZ for Corey. Andrew, will you finish out the ZOU with your pick?
Yes, I will. Give me the Tigers because Shane Beamer's kicking stuff he shouldn't be kicking. He's going to be kicking some rocks after this one again, too.
Ooh, boy, I tell you what, the Virginia Tech guys are going after Beamer already. I love this so far.
Man.
Zach, where are you at on this one?
Well, I love Shane Beamer. Here's an interesting wrap of this whole thing. In 1994, Richlands played Blacksburg in the Region 4 championship game. Shane Beamer was on that Blacksburg team, and Richlands lost that game in Blacksburg. to end the season. One of the coaches, not only on that Richland staff, but on the Richland staff when I played some 20 years ago, got frustrated after a loss and kicked a cooler full of ice and drinks and actually broke a toe. So this has happened before, and I've seen it. And that night that we lost, it was a big game, and that happened. That was probably the only time I laughed that whole night because it was pretty funny. I suspect a lot of South Carolina fans or players in the locker room laughed at Beamer. With all that being said, I would go Missouri.
Wow. So much MIC on this. At least that coach only broke a toe. Beamer supposedly broke a foot, according to himself. And it's not because he lost composure. It's just because he cares, I saw. Boy, I tell you what, that's a great sell. I was just waiting for him to blame somebody for a hot dog or like a chain gang member like he did at the North Carolina game. I'm going to go with Missouri at home. I think Drinkwitz gets another big win. He beat South Carolina last year. I think he does it again. This time he does it in his Columbia. He takes care of both businesses there. He won in South Carolina's Columbia last year. He does it at his own this time around. Give me the former App State coach in Missouri at home. 8 o'clock, ACC Network. Clemson travels to Miami. Both of these teams sit at 4-2, Andrew. Tigers or Hurricanes down in Coral Gables?
Man, Miami should not be 4-2 in this one. Let's talk about this though, real quick. Manny Diaz was not the first coach to not kneel the ball when they had the other team didn't have any timeouts left. That was done before in Southwest Virginia. I'll let you figure out what team did that. I'll tell you, they were just trying to put the points on their rival. I won't say what school that was, but it was done before by a Division III school in Southwest Virginia.
Yeah, it was a great night, too. That was a great night. I was there in person. That was a great night. Shout out to Don McDonald.
Nighttime, so I don't know if you know what game I'm
– Oh, I know what you're talking about,
Emory and Henry. Emory and Henry decided to run the ball with 48 seconds left and fumbled the ball. So, like I said, Manny Diaz, just because he did that doesn't mean he's a bad coach, doesn't mean Miami's a bad football team. Clemson's a better football team, so give me the Tigers on the road.
Hey, Mario Cristobal there with the decisions a couple weeks ago against Georgia Tech and did not go his way that time.
Yeah.
Didn't they
I forgot. Yeah, just go through coaches at Miami.
Yeah, the Manny Diaz out of there. They didn't like the former son of the mayor. They had to go with the guy who's trying to become the mayor and not going to end up very well for him in either regard. For Cristobal in Miami right now, Corey, they've lost two straight. Do they make it three straight this week against the Tigers, Mr. Sanchez?
Oh, gosh. They're three-point dogs at home, too. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Point shaving be darned from 2 weeks ago. I'm going to early lean on Clemson.
Clemson for Corey and Andrew. Zach, where are you at on this one?
Well, you know, Miami's got such a great home field advantage in front of 12,000 there at Hard Rock or whatever that stupid place is called now. I think Dabo goes in and gets it done. I like Clemson on the road for this one.
I like Clemson on the road as well. Dabo was mad this week. He's telling people if they don't like it, they can get off the bandwagon. He doesn't like bandwagoners anyways because people are upset they've lost two games. I think he takes care of business against win number five this week for Clemson. Ole Miss travels to Auburn, 7 o'clock on ESPN, Zach. Lane Kiffin against the school that he almost took the job at last year, but now Hugh Freeze is the coach. How's it going, the Plains?
I think this one's a sneaky good game. I think Auburn keeps it close, but I think Ole Miss gets the win.
Ole Miss on the road for Zach. Corey, where you at on this one?
Ole Miss. I'm starting to like what the old Rebels are doing down there with Lane Kiffin and everything. But, Jacob, 88% of the public is going with Ole Miss at the -6.5.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Ugh.
Yes, sir.
Do we say Auburn in an upset? Yeah, let's go Auburn and upset.
You're going to go Auburn outright at home. First big win for Hugh Freeze against his old school. Ole Miss, who fired him for plenty of good reasoning a few years back.
Sure.
I like Auburn with the points. I'm not sure if I'm going to love him outright. I'll make my pick here in just a moment, Andrew. Where are you at on this one?
Give me the fighting bottles of mustard and golf balls and Lane Kiffin.
That'd be Ole Miss on the road for Andrew and Zach. I'm going to go Ole Miss to win it outright. I think they do just have a little bit too much talent for Auburn. Maybe a late drive gets a win there for Ole Miss. I think Auburn keeps it close, though. Give me the Tigers plus the 6 and a hook. But give me Ole Miss outright on the road. USC coming back home after getting throttled on the road at Notre Dame last week. They're now ranked number 18 in the country. They host number 14, Utah. Corey, who wins at the Coliseum, 8 o'clock on Fox Saturday night?
Well, I tried to tell you this last week. But I think they're going to bounce back this week. Give me the Trojan men to win this one.
USC for Corey. Andrew.
I'm with Corey. Caleb Williams, he ain't happy after last week, I'll tell you that. He's probably painting W-I-N on his fingernails this week for a win, because they need to win if they want to make the playoffs. So give me USC.
Yeah, did y'all see the Notre Dame fan who ran on the field and said, show me your fingernails to Caleb Williams? One of these days, that may not end up very well for you, fan, and I'm not sure I'm going to stick up for you in that regard. I like USC on at home as well, Zach. We're all going with the Trojans. You've always been a little bit heavy on the Utes, though.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when I get home from a night out, my wife will say, show me your fingernails. I don't know what that means. But I'm going to go USC at home. I think Caleb Williams is trying to rebuild his stock, pun intended, and he gets a win at home.
Oh, my goodness. USC at home for everybody there in that pick. Got a few college games left here, fellas. 7:30 on ABC. Andrew, who do you like in Tallahassee in this big ACC battle between two teams that are still undefeated in conference play? Florida State undefeated overall. Duke has the one loss, but it was to Notre Dame. Who wins in Tallahassee Saturday night, Andrew?
Give me the Seminoles. Doak Campbell is a electric atmosphere. And if Duke was a little more healthy, I'd probably just go with an upset pick. But, I mean, FSU, I mean, they really look like a playoff team this year.
Looks like Riley Leonard will play, but maybe not 100%. Zach, who do you like there at Doak Campbell between the Blue Devils and Seminoles?
I think Seminoles at home. I think they keep this undefeated thing rolling.
Corey?
Yeah, give me the Seminoles.
Florida State for me at home as well. Let's head to the third Saturday in October. Let's head to Tuscaloosa. Bryant Denny Stadium, the host of it this time around, is the Tide. Look for revenge. 3:30 CBS, Zach. Tennessee now ranked number 17 in the country. They're 5-1. Number 11, Alabama, 6-1. They're both coming off recent wins over Texas A&M. Also last week, Alabama hung on to beat Arkansas late as they had the big lead, but the Razorbacks rallied. They hung on for the victory, though. Can Alabama get revenge over Tennessee for the win last year in Knoxville, this time in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I think they can for the sheer fact that they're home. If this was in Tennessee, I think it would be, you know, Tennessee, I think it's kind of a pick 'em game right now. But I like Alabama at home to win this one.
Corey?
I didn't like how Tennessee looked last week. I was sitting at a church function with some of the people praying intercessory for Tennessee and giving them updates. So with that being said, they're in my eliminator. I'm going to roll Tide roll.
Alabama for Corey and Zach. Andrew.
Roll Tide. I think Nick Saban's a little mad after last year. I don't think you're going to see any goalposts taken down on Saturday after the Tide to get the win because they know how to win.
I have zero trust right now in Tennessee's offense. I was there last week. You brought it up, Corey, for the Texas A&M game. I never thought I would see the day that Josh Heupel's team would win a game because of their defense, and that's what happened last week against Texas A&M. They won that game 20-13. I've been sort of leaning all the way over through this. I don't trust either quarterback. I don't trust either offense, but I do trust Nick Saban. I'm picking Alabama at home. Yeah, I said it, fellas. I know it's shocking, but I'm picking Alabama at home over Tennessee. Penn State on the road at Ohio State. It's an undefeated battle in the Big Ten. Noon on Fox, Corey. We asked the question last segment, who needs the win more, Ryan Day or James Franklin? Who gets the win?
Who? I feel like it's Ryan Day's got to get the win, right? Because, you know, they've just kind of been skidding around a little bit. But with that being said, I'm kind of leaning towards, yeah, let's go Penn State. I'm going for an upset there. Penn State with the win.
Penn State on the road at the Horseshoe for Corey. Andrew, who do you like in Columbus?
Only team that I will ever trust to win in Columbus is Virginia Tech, and that's because they've shown they can do that before. So Virginia Tech's not playing Ohio State, so give me Ohio State.
Ohio State at home for Andrew, bringing back some nine-year memories there from 2014. Zach, who do you like in this one, though, this time around between Penn State and Ohio State?
We will never forget that win in Columbus as Hokie fans. Don't you talk down on that, Jacob. The new kickoff in Columbus, it's a weird thing. Ohio's a weird place anyway. I don't even know if it's real. But Ohio State at noon, that's like prime time to them. So I think Ohio State gets the win. I think Penn State battles, but I think Ohio State ends up finishing them off and stays undefeated.
I've got Penn State in my eliminator. I think these two teams are very similar. The difference is going to be the games in Columbus. Give me Ohio State at home. One more game for Northeast Tennessee High School football on a Friday night. Dobbins Bennett travels to David Crockett, Andrew. Let's go quick on this one here, fellas. Who do you like in Jonesboro between the Indians and the Pioneers?
Give me DB. I mean, David Crockett, they're having a down year this year. DB, they're not having a down. I mean, they're having, I guess, an average year, and then an average year is better than a down year, so give me DB.
Zach.
So, yeah, I'm going to go DB on the road as well.
Corey.
Give me the band.
That's the band. That's Dobbins Bennett. I like Dobbins Bennett on the road as well. Southwest Virginia, guys, we got a couple of games here, about six games on a Friday night special. Let's run through some of these quick ones here early. Grundy travels to Marion, Class 1 versus Class 2, Zach. The Golden Wave take on the Hurricanes. Both of these teams fighting for playoff lives, but Grundy's already got a district title already on their resume. Who wins between Grundy and Marion on Friday night?
Hurricane-type weather. I'm going to go Hurricanes at home.
Marion at home for Zach. Corey?
Yeah, give me the former Richlands guy there. We'll go with Marion.
That'd be Jack Ginn. Marion for everybody so far. Andrew?
Give me the triple option and the Hurricanes.
That'd be Marion for everybody. I like Marion at home as well. See if that can maybe help them out in the point standings there for the Hurricanes. They're trying to fight their way into the postseason. They're on the outside looking in. I like Marion at home. Honeaker travels to Patrick Henry. At Todd Tiller and Seth Padgett on the show earlier tonight. Big game, Andrew. This is the game you all have this week for your all's Friday Night Rivals coverage. I'll go with you here on this pick first due to that fact. Who do you like between the Tigers and the Rebels in the Hogo?
Honeaker showed they can put up points. And see, this is what I've talked to both coaches, and they said, play this game 10 times, 1-1-5, the other team won. These are Todd Tiller and Seth Padgett, best friend coaches. I mean, they have so much respect for each other, but it's two different styles that they run. Patrick Henry, that ground and pound. Honeaker, that air raid. I feel like everybody's going to say the rain is going to mess with that air raid, but Honeaker, I mean, they just so many weapons. Parker Bandy. Peyton Music, Aiden Lowe, and then you throw Malachi Lowe, the tight end linebacker, now into the mix now. And I mean, they look unbeatable right now, and they showed, I mean, they can put up points, through 70 points last week. This game, cool little fact about this game, color rush. Honeaker's going to be wearing the all orange. PH are going to be wearing the all powder blue. I like orange a little bit better than blue, so give me Honeaker.
Corey, who do you like in this one between the Tigers and Rebels?
Yeah, it took 52 points to beat the Rebels last year, right? I think they can do it again, Ken Honecker, especially if it's going to be a bad weather game. Give me the Tigres in this one.
Took Aiden Lowe having a big game in that one last year to get the win over Patrick Henry. Rain will play a factor for the air raid offense on Friday night, Zach. Does it play enough of a factor for you to pick Patrick Henry at home?
No, this is a battle of a school that used to be Southwest District against a school that has a couple of kids from Southwest District schools. I'm going to go Honeaker on the road in this one.
Honeaker, for everybody so far, I'm with Honeaker as well. I believe they're the best team of Region 1D. They'll cement that on Friday night. Gate City, John Battle, Corey, Mountain District last year. John Battle finally lost their first Mountain District game of the season last week to Ridgeview. Do they pick up a second straight loss if Gate City come to the town?
Yes, they do.
Gate City on the road for Corey. Andrew, who do you like from the Blue Devils and Trojans?
Gate City, I mean, last week I said if they didn't beat Lehigh, I would not pick them the rest of the year. They beat Lehigh. They showed they can get the wins. I mean, they need a win bad to get some good, better playoff positioning than the 8 or the 7 seed. So give me Gate City.
Yeah, they're trying to fight their way up there for Gates City right now. They're right now sitting in that five spot behind Tassel. It's going to be tough for them to hop over the Bulldogs, though, Zach, but wins would help in that regard if they're trying to get a home playoff game. How does it go for them this time around against John Battle?
Well, I think at this point of the year, teams on the cusp of making the playoffs have to be in that playoff mindset, and when you're in that playoff mindset, you've got to beat teams that you're expected to beat. Gate City is expected to beat Battle. They've got to go in and do the thing. I think Gate City does go in and get the win and celebrates at the Cracker Barrel there, exit 7.
This is one of those for John Battle where if you could pull out the win, you would put yourself in a great spot of making the playoffs. They sit in the 10th spot right now, or at least tied for 9th with Marion. They're about a point behind Lebanon in that 8th spot, about 3/10 of a point behind Virginia High in that 7th spot. They need a win as well. They don't get one, though. I like Gate City on the road. Lehigh travels to Central. Zach, who do you like in this one between the Generals and the Warriors up on the hill? Lehigh's 3-4. They're still in that 6th seed spot, though, in Region 2D. Central now with the loss to Union last week. That was their last real chance to try to pull up enough points to make a run at it. They're now just trying to pull out some wins down the stretch of the year to sort of add some sort of smiles and gladness to a year that's been tough for Central.
Well, no smiles on the hill Friday. I think Lehigh High goes in and gets the win.
Corey?
This was a great game last year. Comeback fashion for Lee County, for Lehigh, right? Jacob was too busy down South Carolina playing Mr. GQ. But with that being said, I think Lee makes it back-to-back this year and beats Central.
It's a great point. It's the weekend I lost my eyesight. It was at Erskine that week. It's a great point by you, Corey. I lost my eyesight, and maybe I tried to gain some clothing, but it didn't work out for me. I wasn't invited. Andrew, who do you like in this one?
Usually you're smiling a lot when you get to see the sunset. Central, what a cool place to watch a football game. So much rain on Friday, don't think you're even going to see a sunset, so I don't see any reason for people at Central to smile Friday. Lehigh is going to come in there, and Lehigh is going to put up some points, so give me the Generals.
Joey Carroll and Lehigh, if the win's for everybody, I'm with them as well. They get back to 500 if the win over Central. Castlewood at J.I. Burton is the game on our sister station, 92.5 and 1220 WLSD. Corey, Castlewood's 1-6, but winless in the Cumberland. J.I. Burton's 0-7. That means they're winless in the Cumberland as well. Who gets their first Cumberland District win of the year on senior night at Lawson Fitchko, Corey?
Am I right in reading this? Castlewood hasn't beat Burton since 1971.
That's right. J.I. Burton's won the last 22 in this series.
Holy cow. Yeah, they're going to make it. They're going to do it again. Let's do it again. And it's going to be John I. Burton with their first win of the season.
Burton trying to get win number one. Andrew, do they?
I did not know about that streak. I mean, you want to talk about a tough game to pick. I mean,
Don't be
sure. Give me Bubba Edwards in Castlewood. Give me Bubba Edwards in Castlewood.
We're split so far, Zach. You've always been high on the Blue Devils. The all-time series is J.I. Burton 24, Castlewood 3. Who wins number 28 in this series?
Yeah, I don't know if people were listening earlier. I'm a big component of the Cumberland.
Uh-huh.
I think Castlewood goes in and gets it done. I like the Blue Devils in this one.
Castlewood for Andrew and Zach. I'm right. Hey, I'm a company man, Corey. You know this. You know this about me. I'm a company man.
Yeah.
Give me J.I. Burton at home. Let's go Raiders at home. We're split on that one. Let's do one more, fellas. The game we have on 93.5 WAXM on Friday night. Abingdon at Ridgeview. The Falcons take on the Wolfpack up on the ridge. Andrew, you told us beforehand you will be at this game, just like myself and Corey will be as well. Who do you like between the Falcons and the Wolfpack on Friday night in a game where the winner of this game holds out a little bit of hope for a district title? Loser, they get ready for playoffs.
Ooh, I was at this game 2 years ago when Cole Lambert and the Falcons just piled up the points against Ridgeview. Guess what? Abingdon does not have Cole Lambert at quarterback anymore. He's at Emory now, actually starting, which is crazy. I meant to bring that up earlier, that Saturday when Emory and Tusculum play, you're going to have Palazzo from Chucky Doak starting for Tusculum. That's a Northeast Tennessee, yep, Southwest Virginia battle. But Cole Lambert not with Abingdon anymore. You know who is on the field on Friday night? Ryan O'Quinn, one of the best quarterbacks in all of Southwest Virginia. Give me the Wolfpack on Friday.
We were there as well for that game as well. Corey and I were 2 years ago when Abingdon won big. We'll see if they do so again here on Friday night. Zach, who do you like up on the ridge?
Yeah, I just don't think the weather is going to be very appetizing for a Falcon to fly around. I think Ridgeview says no Falcon way and gets the win.
Ridgeview for everybody, Corey. We'll be there. Who do you like?
Yeah, you know, I usually go with the schools that pay the bills, but I don't think of this one. And plus, there's going to be a real good officiating crew. Just take it from me. No family bias there on the field. So give me the Wolfpack and Ryan O'Quinn.
I forgot about that when I made that call to you earlier this week. It's now coming back to me. I like
we have a secret officiating like fantasy league, don't we?
Yeah. Well, we were missing one of our favorites last week there. We didn't see his red hat. I will take Ridgeview at home as well. I will say, with the weather, Abdon's running this, a lot of running. They're relying a lot on the running game with Haluk Honecker, their quarterback, Owen Barr, their now top running back, Ty Thompson. They've still got the Alex Hawkins kid as well, who was really good last year. Keep an eye on the running game there for Garrett Amberger's squad. They've won four out of their last five, which are losing their first two. But I'll take Ridgeview at home to stay in the hunt there in the Mountain District. And a win for them Friday night pretty much locks up at least a top three spot in the Region 2D playoffs, I think, as well for the Wolfpack heading into their bye week next week. That is our game on 93.5 to BXM on Friday night. Our game coming up here on Thursday night, though, is Thomas Walker at Eastside coming up next. On 92.5 and 1220 WLSD on Friday night is Castlewood at J.I. Burton. We'll also have UVA Wise football for you on Saturday afternoon. That is Erskine at UVA Wise. Pre-game 1:30, kickoff at 2 o'clock. Don't forget about the re-air of Picks and Picks on Friday afternoon as well at 5 p.m. And you can go back and listen to it on SoundCloud and on the on-demand page on WAXM.com as well. A lot to get to for the coming weeks as we wrap up the regular seasons in Tennessee and Kentucky next week. It's the penultimate week of the regular season for Virginia next week, so a lot to get to here in the coming weeks. Andrew McClung from WCYB, thanks for being the guest picker, man. Honecker, Patrick Henry, their big Friday night rivals game this week, but Andrew will have the coverage for them from our game on Friday night, Abdon at Ridgeview as well. As always, thanks for joining us, Andrew. Good luck on the picks.
Thank y'all, and let's hope I beat JHL. That's all I'm
We'll
matters.
See. We'll see. I'm sure that our friends at JHL will be keeping a close eye as well with Hawk and Dugan. We'll make sure to keep them updated as well. That is our pick segment for the night. For Corey Sanchez, Zach Helton, I'm Jacob Townsend. We'll talk to you next Thursday night at 8 o'clock right here on 93.5 WAXM.
Thanks for listening to Pigskin Picks, brought to you by Food City, Eastman Credit Union, and Delegate Terry Kilgore. Pigskin Picks is a production of Valley Broadcasting and Communications.